You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
I guess the moral of the story is don't raise kids and go to grad school at the same time. That seemed to be a weird underlying message in this movie.
Well, that's all like you think that would be common sense, but I think that it's also like, hey, I can do everything. Well, all right. That's cute.
Having been to grad school for both a master's and attempted a PhD, I'm just like, yeah, no, I would not have tried to raise a kid during right. that time.
I don't know. For me, I was just kind of like, wow, they're really selling me on the higher education, not so much on the child rearing thing.
See, I felt the opposite. I'm like, I really want to have kids. I don't want to go back to my PhD at all.
So I'm not like the biggest fan of kids.
No,
as people have heard on other reviews. But so I was like, hey, I like you guys. I like you, Olivia Colman. You do you, boo.
Oh boy. Yeah, so we are talking about The Lost Daughter on Netflix. Now, this is an interesting film for quite a few reasons, because first of all, it's the directorial debut of the actor Maggie Gyllenhaal, mm-hmm. which, you know, wow, what an interesting film to make her debut directing career on.
Yeah.
You know? It's just like,
holy
huh.
crap.
It's adapted from a book from an Italian author, actually, Elena Ferrante, which, that's the thing is that, you know, like all foreign books that we adapt here, we take the story and then we replace all of the Italian or whatever people with British people in it. So.
As is the rule.
And aren't they? Yeah. Some of the other characters, aren't they like Brooklynites or where are they? They're like really.
Yeah, close. There was like.
Oh, yeah.
Some American
yeah.
group or something.
One of the actresses is Polish, too, which is interesting, yeah. even though she's playing a person from Brooklyn.
We
yeah.
can
so
just say it. It's Snooki.
It's
how's that for outdated references?
Oh, she's still around. She's
yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Is it 2012 already?
Flashbacks.
She's doing her thing somewhere, I'm sure.
Yeah, but hey, everybody. I'm Justin Zarian. Over here, we got Frank.
Hello.
Hey. Over here, we got Melina.
Areya Vizya.
Hey. And over here, we got my wife, Lexi.
Hello.
I love doing the Borat's. My wife.
Hello, she's Lexi.
Hi.
That's right. You guys have never actually recorded before with each other.
Yeah.
That's
we've interacted on Facebook.
Oh, right. No, I feel
again,
like
it's
recently...
it's almost 2012.
I was like, right? This is like the second time in, not in a row, but that I, pretty close that I recorded with Lexi. We did Hand of God.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Hand yeah. of God yes. reunion here. Yeah.
Yeah, woo. And okay. we got to reunite for another very European movie for this case.
With an Italian connection as well.
Yeah.
My Italian heritage is really so loving it right now. Yes.
So you're going to be on here whenever there's like a European set film, basically.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Note to self, make that a point with Chris. But anyway, so this is an interesting one to talk about, and not the least less interesting because, freaking wow, the critics and the fans are so divided on this film. I cannot believe
oh, yeah.
it. It's like a 44% audience rating versus a 96% critic rating.
Yeah, and it seems like everything that the audience decidedly hates is what the critics are really digging. So, yeah,
like,
it's a bit of a battle royale going on.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it could. Oh, like It Comes at Night, right. and a lot of other like indie films like that kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, that was another one that was like indie, but also pretty divided, wasn't it?
I mean, it feels like most of these type of indie films will always have a negative
Wait,
audience. I
which
mean,
one was very which
Manchester
was
by the Sea was one of the best films that year, and the audiences on the Amazon reviews hate that movie.
And it's such a shame because it's you know, in both that movie and this movie, they have really really complex characters at their centers, and I guess that audiences, you know, want to just, I don't know if they want to see themselves or they want to see someone that can be their best friend. But, you know, I think that these are the characters that really I'm so drawn to. It's, you know, the darkness of the human experience and how people navigate through that. I mean, that's never not going to be interesting.
No, so why don't we talk a little bit about the plot then? So the story starts off with Olivia Colman, who we all love and adore because she's amazing, as this lady, Lita, who is a middle-aged college professor and pretty much like every middle-aged college professor I've ever met in my life. A little standoffish, doesn't really like to associate with people, a little eccentric kind of thing. But she is taking a vacation to Greece and, you know, she's having the time of her life-ish, except she seems very, very... she's lonely, but she's not unhappy to be lonely kind of thing. Until she starts getting involved with this family who's also on vacation there. This group of Jersey Shore-looking a-holes kind of thing. And the one of the couple's daughters goes missing. And thankfully, Olivia Colman's there to find her. But she also, in the process, steals the girl's doll. And you're just wondering, like, well, why is she withholding this? Because clearly the girl is really, really upset that the doll is missing. But then the more the film goes on, we start to discover that there's a very complex situation with her psychologically, because we start to see flashbacks to a younger version of her played by Jessie Buckley, who is in the process of trying to raise two daughters while also going to grad school for an English degree. And just all the different things about her past come into play that weirdly echo a bunch of stuff that's happening in the plot with the other people in the, you know, the douchebag family kind of thing.
But no, they're not all douchebags. I think that you know, one of the characters, the young mother played by Dakota Johnson, is, you know, the closest down to earth that is possible to be in that family.
Sure, she's probably the nicest of the bunch, but she's not exactly innocent when you learn about stuff she's doing later in the film.
And then the pregnant lady also was kind of on a similar, like, she kind of starts off like, eh, but then she kind of tries to leave like an olive branch at some point and...
Like, maybe I overreacted. Like, yeah, I'm sorry.
Like, I was waiting to find out that she was actually a mob boss.
Right? even when she's trying to make peace, she made me so nervous. Like, that woman just is so off-putting in her energy. It's just...
Yeah.
The whole family made me really nervous. Like, every time they were on screen, it felt very ominous. So I was just like, what's going to happen?
Especially once you see that one of the family members is Oliver Jackson Cohen from The Invisible Man. You're like, oh boy, that leads up to no good.
Yeah. I don't trust you. But, I mean, I will say this about Dakota Johnson. We've talked about her being the mother of a little girl whose doll Olivia Colman takes. She, you can tell, is kind of... definitely victimized by this family, and that's actually probably why you have this immediate sympathy for her, despite the fact that, yes, she is, as everybody else is in this film, very, very imperfect and very obviously flawed.
Yeah.
And that's the thing with this movie, is that part of the reason I'm sure why the audiences are not attached to this in some ways is that it's a very character-driven movie. It's very much about looking into the past of Olivia Colman's, you know, youth as a young mother with her husband. And it doesn't have, like, a strict, like, A to B to C narrative kind of thing. But that's not exactly a bad thing here, because it is just watching her not exactly unravel, but you start to see things about her become a little unglued as you just see, what kind of woman is this? And the movie doesn't spoon-feed you those details. You have to really kind of interpret or extrapolate certain details based on how she reacts or responds to certain things that occur to her.
Absolutely. I think that's probably another reason that audiences are struggling with it, because it is a very, very, it requires a very active audience. Mm-hmm. You do need to be very proactive in terms of engaging with this film. It doesn't start out that way. I think on the surface, this feels like something you could just let wash over you, and it's not. You need to really know who these people are emotionally and know why what is happening to them is happening to them. It takes a little bit of work, and not all audiences are willing to do that, sadly.
Yeah, and nobody does better at conveying emotion without saying a word than Olivia Colman.
Yeah.
Because, my God, I think that woman has the most expressive eyes in all of Hollywood, where that woman can convey 50 emotions at once without a single line of dialogue.
That's true.
And I'm like, where have you been all my life?
I was going to say her and Willem Dafoe, but Willem Dafoe just expresses crazy in 50 different ways. So.
She's like a cuddly Willem Dafoe.
I know. I think some people weren't super thrilled, because I don't think they really liked the main characters in the film, because, well, I mean, I don't feel like they're made to be super likable people, like, as kind of Frank kind of mentioned, where it's like, they're all very complex people. And it's interesting, because I feel like a lot of films and TV shows now have, like, kind of anti-heroes almost, like, that sort of, like, type of dark characters. But it's almost like sometimes there are certain characters where people are just like, they do certain things and they're just like, nope, I don't like this person already.
Yeah, people want lovable bad guys. And she's not a bad guy, but she's not lovable either. That's the thing. It's like, she is a very complex person.
Yeah, she's very prickly.
Yeah.
I think it's also, she's also written very truthfully. It's not the prettiest truth. This is because she is being made to confront the choices that she made in her past and the way they defined her life. And, you know, I think it's also a harsh truth that I think a lot of people that are probably watching this have experienced and don't really want to acknowledge that, you know, that this could potentially apply to them. And, you know, legitimately does not make for the easiest viewing experience.
It's more challenging.
No. It is more challenging. I think, but also I always say that as long as you can project the truth about a person, about their situation, I mean, that's ultimately going to win out over anyone's reaction.
In regards to likability, this is something that I go back and forth with, where I'm like, I can hate a movie for unlikable characters. And I think that it's really not so much about the likability. What matters is not whether or not a character is likable or unlikable, because the more complex you write a character, I think the harder it is to
categorize them in either one.
To lump them as likable or unlikable. And that's great. I think that's a mark of a great character and a complex one. But also, I'm like, if I dislike a film with unlikable characters, it's almost never the fact that they're unlikable in and of themselves. It's because the movie doesn't make me understand them.
There's also that's also the movie's responsibility, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
And this one, I would say that, you know, paired with a combination of Olivia Colman doing just one of just yet another masterful performance and Maggie Gyllenhaal, who just knocks it out of the park, not just as a first time director, but as a director.
And a writer.
They brought that across beautifully to me.
Yeah, and I was just going to say that there are some kind of going along those lines where there are some scenes where I feel like they really kind of present also the characters being self-aware of like her not being like super likable or having done mistakes in the past. Like there's even a whole conversation where she's straight up is like, yeah, I was selfish, you know, and she kind of admits to like some of these flaws. And I really like that we can also see the characters kind of be honest with themselves or other people as well.
Yeah.
I mean, that doesn't, she still makes terrible mistakes from to be fair. Yeah. But it's one of the things where it's like, I'll at least accept you being a moron as long as you know that you're being a moron.
Well, she's like, she's too prone to her instincts, which her instincts it seems like they don't serve her as well as they should, as she thinks that they will.
This is one of those cases where trust your gut is the wrong answer.
But I think there's also
think twice.
There's a little like underlying level of atonement in her. On her part, that she's always tiptoeing toward, but she doesn't fully ever reach. Maybe because I don't know if she's if she's ready to reconcile her past or not. Even though she's so clearly dancing with it the entire film.
Yeah, but the movie doesn't want to answer those questions. It really just wants you to, especially without saying it. The way it ends, it's a very much a, well, you decide if this meant this or this for you.
Yeah.
Like, it's not so much you're unclear what happened, but you're unclear what did that mean to you. But in the way that I feel like at least it earned that kind of ending, because so many endings, they do that just because they don't have any idea how to actually write the ending.
Yeah.
In this one, it felt like they said, okay, this is where we're at, and we've gotten to this point, so now what did that mean to you from this experience?
And if you've engaged with this movie in the way you were meant to, or if you've been an active participant in the film with the film, you will come to a conclusion.
Yep.
But I think that I think that there are a lot of people. I'm not gonna shit on Netflix because they brought out a lot of crap that I adore, and I thought no one would watch this but me. You know, hey, when Sing All the Way came out, baby, I rewound that Britney sequence like no one's business, and it was great. But I think that too many audiences nowadays, they want to be spoon-fed and they want to be told this means this, and no, it needs to be your perspective and your, you know, what you have inferred all the way through, and you analyze
it. Feels like
it.
A 70s movie.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It feels like something that you would see like other European directors make, which again, I mean, the fact that Maggie Gyllenhaal could tap into that sensibility and that style. And apparently there's one of those things where the writer, like we mentioned, Elena, said that she would only let people direct this movie if there was a woman director in charge of it. And I feel like it's just, you know, obviously I wouldn't have thought Maggie Gyllenhaal is the first thing, but it seemed like it was in competent hands. You know, someone who actually clearly cared about this material kind of thing.
More than competent. I mean, I actually, as soon as I got done with this movie, I immediately went to look at some interviews that she conducted about the film, because I was like, wow, I mean, her and Lin-Manuel Miranda this year, I'm like, God, for first-time directors, I can't believe that you guys are as capable as you are with what you're handling. Yeah. And then to see interviews with her, I'm like, this is somebody who's not just an amazing player, but she clearly is in love with film. And some of the references that she throws out there, she's talking about like old Godard films and the movies that he would make with like his leading ladies. And when you see the way that she frames, like just the way that she frames her shots to where you almost always feel like, along with Olivia Colman, you're an observer. And it's only as it goes along that you start to feel like you are starting to look at the world and the people around her the way she is, and you understand why. So much care and just so much care and soul went into every single shot. I was like, I can't believe that this was made by someone who's not been doing this for decades.
Yeah.
No, and there's a great cast behind this too. Like we said, like, you know, obviously we can't praise Olivia Colman enough. She's going to get nominated for Best Actress this year. Like, she may not win because it seems Kristen Stewart's the unstoppable force from what everyone says.
As long as it isn't Gaga, she's that'll be fine.
But no,
or like I've said outside of this, the plastic cheeks of Tammy Faye.
Oh God.
Yeah, but you know, there's a lot of great acting here. We said Dakota Johnson, who I didn't recognize at first because of that hair dye and makeup that she was using. I'm just like, oh right, that's her.
And she's
just,
she's so that type of character, that type of woman, without being overtly that kind of, you know what I mean? Like, she's just so, she just so fits into that skin, even though she's like this California Los Angeles girl that was born and raised, but she's like, God, she was so good. She was so convincing as this character.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, she's
but then
wonderful.
Jesse Buckley was great as the younger version
I
of Olivia Colman. Yeah.
And you know what's really great about her, that character, is that even though she is playing the younger Olivia Colman, you know, I don't know if they compared notes or anything, but she, you know, she crafts her own character, and she carries that character's journey all the way through. It's not, they're not mimicking each other, you know? I think that Jesse Buckley, you know, so many times younger versions of characters are just there to serve the present day, versions.
Right.
And this is someone who, you know, through this performance is a wholly realized character that you can tell it's the same character, but you know, she's made her own, and I think it's a brilliant performance to watch.
Yeah, because
no one's performance relies on the strength of the other one.
No.
Yeah, because I mean, people they're not really the same people when they're like 20 versus say like when they're like 48 or something. You know,
that's
true. We're all very different by that point. Usually, not maybe not everybody, but a lot of people are.
Yeah, to be fair, I would not have guessed her to be 48 either. So, but two people I wanted to mention too. I mean, it was nice that Maggie Gyllenhaal gave a role for her husband in this movie, Peter Sarsgaard. It's just like, hey, he's doing his best Orson Welles impression. That's great. Yeah, with that freaking beard.
It is that character.
It's funny, though. I always think he's doing a John Malkovich impression every time.
Oh, that too. But
the
guy who I really...
I don't know which one it is.
Yeah. But the guy I was really happy to see here was Ed Harris as the guy who owns the apartment he's lending out to Olivia Colman. Like, that... Man, it's just great to see him in something
it's
that's
so
good for change.
Because he's so,
he was great in this too.
He's so sweet, and he's just so, you know, he's such a good-natured character. He's this like, rare, bright light in this woman's life, which you can tell is very isolated, very lonely. I don't want to say tortured, because I don't know, I mean, her life outside of this, you know, what's kickstarted all her memories coming back during this vacation. But it's so nice that there's this little bit of promise, even if it's only momentary. And that's all due to Ed Harris, because he just radiates all of that so well.
Yeah, he does.
They have such good chemistry together, too, I
know. Oh, yeah.
Like, they worked really well together in a lot of the scenes. And, it's just so very sweet. I feel like at first you almost are kind of like, because, I mean, most people know Ed Harris from, like, other movies and films where he's kind of like the tough guy
or the
villain. And you kind of go and you're like, oh, no, is he going to be like that weird, like, awful person in
the
their life?
The creepy old dude kind
of
thing.
And instead of, like, actually the reverse, and I really love that, like, kind of role reversal for him. It's really nice.
I feel like I've seen several actors in similar small roles this year. Case in point, John Bernthal in Unforgivable, where I was like, I really like the way that they're setting this guy up and the way that they're making him play against his type, to where this is actually just a very sweet, very tender, but flawed person.
Yep.
It's just here I was so relieved that they didn't actually find something cheap to do with them or just forget that they're in the movie. It's like he does get just enough of, you don't get an arc with him, but you get just enough of an understanding of who he is and why he is where he is that you do feel a connection.
Yeah, and I felt the same way about John Bernthal in King Richard, too. He had a similar kind of thing. Great. You know, and
poor guy.
That's the thing, is that winding down here, our final thoughts kind of stuff, I will only say that the movie isn't terribly stylish in its way. Like, obviously, you know, that's not Maggie Gyllenhaal's focus here. It's not about visuals or, like, you know, because it was weird comparing it to the movie we reviewed before, Frank, The Hand of God, where that one is an exquisitely shot movie where I just didn't care about the narrative as much kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And in this one's not as exquisitely shot, but I was just so invested in it that I didn't mind some of its stylistic kind of downfalls, I would say. Because it's like, it's competently shot for what it is, but you're not going to say like, oh, wow, this is gorgeous kind of thing. It's like, no, it's good. It's a well-directed, you know, shooting style.
Yeah, kind of thing. Absolutely. I agree with that.
Yeah.
So that's really the only thing I can say that I didn't care for. Other than that, I generally, you know, sorry, fans, we're not going to be on your side here. We're the snobby critics. Because I honestly really genuinely enjoyed this movie. I thought that it's well acted. It's really well written. I was kind of shocked at how well Maggie Gyllenhaal could be so nuanced in the way that she wrote and directed this thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's really that kind of movie that I gravitate towards when I want really good, made-for-grown-up dramas kind of thing. And I find that, again, I've said this in other reviews, the older I get, the more I crave this stuff than just the mindless action films that, well, our site usually likes more than most people on this site. But this was a great treat. I was actually very glad that I signed up for this review. So I'm going to give this one 8.5 out of 10 very, very gross worms.
Oh, God. Yeah.
That's one of those moments where I was like, are we sure this is not a horror movie? Because I feel unsettled.
Have that shoe drop finally.
That scene and then the scene with the cicada where I'm just like, okay, one of these is going to turn into some kind of creepy horror thing going on here. Nope, thankfully not.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that there's anything I can say at this point that we haven't already nailed home. I absolutely adored this, and I was a bit nervous going into this because of just how severe the divide there is between the audience and critics. The last film that I watched that was that divided was Don't Look Up, which I definitely was I was more like the audience in that regard. I liked it a lot more than apparently the critics did. But at the same time, I think this movie is almost like the yin to the Don't Look Up yang, which is that movie had no problem just saying, no, we don't need subtext. We're just going to go right in your face. This is subtext. This is beautiful subtext. And one that I sat after, as soon as I got done watching it, I was like, God, I want to go to book club after this and just sit down and analyze this chapter by chapter with a bunch of people, because wow, it's just so richly done and there's so many great motifs that you just sit there thinking about, and all of them have meaning. It's not one where you have to sit there going, it's pretty, but I don't get it. But I adored this. Acting incredible. Maggie Gyllenhaal, I'm dying to see what you do next. I hope you do something else. So yeah. I'm going to give this 9 out of 10 Olivia Colman acceptance speeches, because it does not get better than that.
Well, Alexi, you want to go ahead?
Yeah, I think, I mean, everyone else are, like, a lot of things I agree on pretty much for the most part with it. I was also pretty worried going into when I saw, like, the Rotten Tomatoes score. I was like, oh my gosh, like, what has divided people so much with this film? I was kind of expecting like some sort of like dramatic twist that would be like the dividing thing that happened, and there wasn't, in my mind, there was not like a super dramatic twist. And
when the one dramatic twist happened near the end, I was just like,
it didn't
that's
feel,
okay.
Yeah, I was just like, this shouldn't be enough to divide audiences, right?
No.
I was like, what? Oh, okay, this wasn't that bad. I don't know why everyone is hating on it. Like, I can see why maybe the average audience viewer might not have loved it as much, but I personally, I mean, I love kind of more like, you know, kind of calm, I guess, arty films and things like that. And for me, it was totally up my alley. And I actually thought it was surprisingly well-paced as well. I think that's kind of partly the story with the acting and also just how well-paced everything was. I was also very surprised by that. Like, I was expecting, like, oh, it's like going to have like a super slow, like, first half or something. And
it did have a super slow 15 minutes to start.
Sort of, but it was like a whole really good setup in my mind. Yeah. And
right.
And for the most part, it was like there wasn't too many scenes I felt that dragged too much. And most scenes felt pretty important to, like, the plot and everything. I mean, even, like, simple, like little character interactions all felt very vital to kind of helping build up this world and build up these characters that are in the story. And I think the story also has a lot of, maybe as a woman, for my, like, to me, there's a lot of relatability as like a woman in this story as well. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of the themes like of motherhood and like relationships and like, you know, and for especially for people who are aging, like kind of their past and everything. And I think so many people can relate to those struggles and those insecurities and flaws that we all have in some way. And I think overall, Libby Coleman, she knocked it out of the park. Like she's amazing in this film for capturing that very complex main character. I know not everyone's going to love her, but I don't think she needs to be the most lovable person ever for you to connect with her and understand her and empathize with her journey. And I think my rating, I mean, at the end of the day, I really love this film. I think my rating is probably a 9 out of 10. Stray cats in the background. I spotted at least two or three stray cats in the background. I loved it. I was like, oh, there's a cat right there.
That's so you, Lexi. Yeah, that's so you. Well, and I'm glad this movie's getting a lot of awards attention. Like, I mean, it dominated the Gotham Awards. It took the screenplay prize at Venice. It's been getting a lot of attention. So I'm sure we're going to see it end up on probably at least a couple categories at the Oscars by that time, if anybody will watch them this year.
Yeah. Definitely should. One of those times where I'll be like, yes, you guys are completely right on this one.
I think the themes are, they're unconventional in a way, in terms that you wouldn't make a movie, at least, and release it on this wide of a platform with themes of wrestling with motherhood and whether or not you should really, you know, enjoy being a mother, and how much of an alliance do you have to what you want. And those are really hard themes to discuss, both cinematically and, you know, for audiences to you know, intellectualize, because they're not happy sunny themes. I think that this movie really handles them well, and it handles them in such a way that really stays with you. I found this movie to be very haunting, and I know that's a term that's thrown around a lot, and it's usually thrown around with a lot much more darker films, but there is something about these characters and the way that they were faced with the choices they made, with the lives that they had, that really, really left an imprint in the best possible way. I think everybody here is fantastic. Olivia Colman, of course, we love Olivia Colman, who, you know, she started out the year really, really great as Pal. And now, you know, who's like, as a love Pal. Yeah, the rest of the cast is great. It isn't the prettiest film, but at the same time, it's, you know, the central focus is on the emotions and on the characters. And from that point of view, I just couldn't take my eyes away from it. This isn't a movie for audiences, conventional audiences. They will not get a lot out of this for a variety of reasons, and all of them we've pretty much stated. But this is a movie that really, really does feed you. And for those that are willing to engage with it enough, they won't be able to forget it, because I know I sure haven't. So I'm going to give this 9 out of 10 times you hear a Bon Jovi song in a club and you just start jamming out, man, because...
Oh, like, yeah.
Jimmy likes to work on the... Yeah. So I was like, yeah. And I just like watching... I love watching Olivia Colman jam out to Bon Jovi. I'm like, yeah.
You know. Oh, yeah. That moment she's like, oh, I love this song. Yes. I almost went, I do too.
Yeah. We all love this song. Yeah, I was like, yeah, speaking of dad crushes, John Bon Jovi, man.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Total daddy crush. But I'll still have I think my daddy crush on Ed Harris is stronger. It's those eyes, man.
We all love Ed Harris.
That's a granddad crush for me. I've done the numbers.
It's those eyes. It's those blue eyes.
It is.